AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
All right, it's me, and I want to thank everyone at the Oasis Podcast, as you were.
Hello and welcome back to the Oasis Podcast, the ultimate audio guide to Oasis. Hope you guys are all right. Today is a fun episode. It's a bit of a journey because we're tracking back to last weekend when I had a pretty mad day or so up to Manchester to the Together We'll Fly exhibition that Kyle, Bittersweet Home, the Oasis Collectors Group put on at Salford Lads Club. And that was absolutely amazing. And then we went on to see Liam Gallagher play at the Co-op Live, the new venue there in Manchester. So what we've got coming up today is basically the story of the day. Loads of interviews that I was doing on the day with a few listeners to the podcast, like Hanif and Wardy. And then there's a few other people like Nick Brine and Kyle Dale. And and you basically, we're just going to give you the story of the day. And it's all good fun. Plus, also, I've got a couple of reviews of the Liam gigs that have come in over email. So I'll be dropping those in as well at the end. But anyway, so it's a good episode. Let's crack straight on with it, shall we? I suppose the first thing to say is I headed off up the M6 up to Manchester, to Salford. I'd never been to Salford Lads Club. You know, I've now had the photo taken and everything out the front. I had my Oasis Podcast flag, which was cool. It was good to have that with me so people could recognise the Oasis Podcast. That's all good. It was just a great, overall great experience, you know, that to be there and to, you know, obviously the Salford Lads Club do a great job. You know, it's not just like a venue. It's a whole thing in the community and things. So it's, you know, it's a very, very important and special place to the community. I know they really appreciated with Kyle having done this, you know, that obviously raised a lot of money for them and they were really appreciative of that. So that was really cool. I know going back, I was there on the Sunday, but Tony McCarroll turned up on the Friday. Obviously Magic Mod was there as well. He sort of opened the show and was doing magic as well. So but I was there for Sahaji being there. And I was on the same day as John Robb was doing the live interviews, one with Nick Brine and one with Brian Cannon. So I didn't grab John or Brian. They sort of pretty much turned up, did their thing and left, which is understandable. But so I didn't grab those guys, but I grabbed Nick and I grabbed the other ones. But anyway, let's crack on, shall we? So I had a bit of music and then the first interview I did was with listener Hanif. Gorilla. Yeah. So I'm here with Hanif. How you doing, man?
Absolutely amazing. Thank you so much.
No worries. So we're here at the Together We'll Fly exhibition. Yeah. So, but you're from Winnipeg, right?
I'm from Winnipeg, Canada, right in the middle of nowhere. Yeah, but in a good way. Noel's mentioned Tales of the Middle of Nowhere about being colder than Margaret Thatcher's blood, which is absolutely true. And it's really a brilliant comment. So,
How long have you been over in the UK?
I lived there 2 years, but my family's been here, so I've been back for my whole life, but living since the last 2 years in London.
Yeah. Fair play. And you've been see Liam this week already?
I've seen him twice, Friday and Monday at the O2. I saw him in March as well at the Troxy with John Squire.
Oh, wow. How was that?
Oh, it was amazing. I was so close, such a small venue. And I love that they played all new songs. It was amazing to hear them. Something like I'm a Wheel was my standout Mother Nature song. But I'm just happy that he seems so happy doing what he's doing, and you can feel that palpably in the performances. It's amazing to have him back on form, really.
Well, I was saying this, it's like, it's so cool that, like, if you think about what year he's had, when it was going to be a year off, and yet he's done an album with John Squire and then toured it. He's done this Definitely Maybe stuff, including playing all the random B-sides. Yeah. I mean, how did you find that? Because I know that there was a lot of... like, Liam got angry on stage and people weren't into the B-sides. I mean,
that's their loss, honestly. You know, I don't care about those people. Those gigs are for people like us who followed the band for 30 years or near to and who've just been loving them. Like, those songs like Cloudburst, Do You Want to Be a Spaceman? It's one of my all-time favorites. And to hear Liam do that again, and then it's a shame we didn't get Listen Up, but I mean, otherwise, whatever. Good to be free. Him doing Half the World Away, I had, like, tears in my eyes. I did not believe that was going to happen. I thought, this can't be. And then he started, and I thought, oh, my God, this is actually happening. That was a treat to, I think, people like us who've really followed the band. If people want to go to the Loos and get a drink, that's their problem. Let them go. And, you know, and it's good Liam kind of was, like, realizing at the same time, it's like, that wasn't for them. Let them go to the festivals. This is for us.
Exactly.
This is our moment.
Exactly.
It was phenomenal that he actually did that.
Yeah. Fantastic.
My partner Carmen, she mentioned that you can see that, and she's becoming an Oasis fan too. You can see that Liam.
Is that her choice?
She's getting there. She likes Whatever a lot. Don't Go Away. Anyways, but so she says you can see how much he loves what he does. And that really is contrary to the image of Liam you might get from someone who doesn't really follow the band.
No, fair enough. And here we're Together We'll Fly exhibition. Any particular items caught your eye?
I've only walked halfway through before I bumped into you. But first of all, just the fact everything is there. This last set list from the Rock on Sane gig is there with... I've never listened to that. Was it the Chelmsford one, the last gig that's recorded? I've never listened to it. I get the chills every time and I can't actually listen
to it.
It's too stressful. That's stressful, but it feels almost like eerie. And I've never... I'm okay with that right now. But I would say... Shaker Maker cover and mock-ups, because I love that cover. I love the colors. I love Brian Cannon's work. It's just surreal. The Master Plan stuff, because that's my... I know it's not technically, of course, a studio album. But if I had one only album that I could listen to, it'd be that one. Because that one gives you the breadth of everything the band does. The real hidden gems that are there. And there's so much heart, yearning, the soul of Oasis in that album and those songs.
You're fucking good, man. You should do the Oasis podcast. This is great.
You do a great job of it. I can't take it away from you, but thank you. I mean, I'm honored. So.
Cheers, man. So we're here at Together We'll Fly with Nick Bryan. How you doing, man?
I'm good, mate. Nice to see you.
Yeah, good to see you. So you're going to be talking later, is how
me
you
and John
about
Rob.
That?
Yeah, great. Can't wait.
So
I was here yesterday and I'm going to chat with everybody and just kind of getting warmed up ready for today. So nothing rehearsed, obviously. Just see what he's got in mind for me. And it's great.
Yeah. You know John, he's a clever guy. He might start hitting you with like history of left-wing politics or something.
Not that prepared. I was out last night, so I'll be a bit slow to answer on that. But I've kind of used to the Oasis questions though over the years, all the ones that come, you know,
exactly,
come my way. So
you know what's going to come up. And John was around as well, obviously. He was there.
Yeah, so famously. I met him briefly back then. I mean, you know, very briefly. But yes, it's good to see him again now today at this, and it's amazing, isn't it? What an exhibition. Yeah.
Great collection of stuff, isn't it? It's just cool to see. I mean, what Kyle's managed to put together is just phenomenal, really.
Seeing some of the original things that were there back in the 90s when I was there and not seeing them since then, you know, and now here they are on display here. Incredible.
There we were, now here we are.
Yeah.
As they say.
Yeah.
And so you're here today, you've got the talk, and then you're seeing Liam tonight, right?
Yep, straight off from this. Pack the stuff away because I've got a couple of guitars with me here as well, so... get that safely into storage and then off to the gig tonight.
Yeah, can't wait.
Yeah, we were at Foo Fighters last night, which was great as well.
Wow.
So we were here at the exhibition in the day, then Foo Fighters last night, and then exhibition, and then we're straight off tonight. Actually, we got a session starting tomorrow morning. The new Dodgy record.
Oh, is it? Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah, start that tomorrow morning. So it's going to be a late night drive.
Back at Rockfield?
We're in Mid Wales, studio called Red Kite.
Okay.
It's Mid Wales, about a 4-hour drive from here. So straight from Liam, straight in the car, back there. The boys are there already today.
Oh, wow.
And then we start that record in the morning. So.
Oh, exciting.
Yeah, can't wait.
And so. You work with Sahaji as well, and they're here to do
that. They're here. They're going to play later on. They just popped in. Now they've gone off to Pretty Green to get kitted out. Yeah. And they'll be back then. They're going to play half an hour acoustic set later on.
Yeah.
And then their tour starts then next week. Yeah. They're over for 3 weeks for a tour.
So mad they've got the whole media team with them. It's so funny, isn't it?
Well, it's really blown up in Japan for them because they came and did the tour here, got obviously their top 10 single. They went back and it was like all of a sudden this media attention. They were on at the biggest breakfast show, the biggest music show in Japan. Every TV show wanted them on. They've got like Summer Sonic Festival now, Fuji Rock Festival. It's just blown up for them because obviously they came, had that success, media success, and not many Japanese bands kind of have success over here. No. So everybody wanted to speak to them and wanted to know what was going on. So. Yeah.
And how was it working with them, producing them and stuff?
Easy.
Yeah.
Talent. Just... yeah, really good talent. They've got loads of songs. So we just bashed a song out a day. We've done 12 songs for the album now. 3 already released. There'll be another EP coming out. It was great. We did some Rockfield, some in my studio in Wales. Then they came to Spain to my other studio and we did some there. So they've been getting about. It's nearly finished now, the mixing. And they're talented.
Yeah.
Talented brothers. Really prepared in the studio, know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Great sound, great band in the studio with them. Great tracks, and obviously the first few were a bit more Oasis-like, but actually the rest of the album is quite a departure from that.
Oh yeah.
So the kind of Oasis style tracks were already released on that first EP.
Okay.
And then there's a good mix on the rest of it. So it's quite rock, a bit more rock kind of stuff going on, a couple of ballads. Clever little songwriter.
It's good. They are very cool. And he's lovely guys as well.
Really nice guys. Yeah, so the whole team they bring with them as well. They're all so nice. Playing the fan park today as well
before
the England game.
Oh, wow.
They go straight from here to that. They did the Edinburgh one before after the Scotland game, unfortunately. They should have done it before,
but
it was after. And then they're on the Manchester one today. Yeah.
Cool, very exciting. All right, well, great to catch up, mate.
And you, mate, always good
and,
to speak.
We'll catch you in a bit.
All right, nice one.
So here with Craig, how are you doing?
I'm good, very good, thank you.
So you're Flip Flop Records?
Flip Flop Records with Nick, and I'm in the 355s, which is one of the bands of Flip Flop Records as well.
So are you enjoying the exhibition so far?
It's great, and it's great to see the coming together of all these people as well, you know, and everybody's got their own stories they're telling, and it's really cool. And just being in Manchester this weekend, Foo Fighters last night, Liam tonight, and it's the place to be, definitely is.
So we've got a couple of very interesting items here. So this is not from the Kyle Dale collection.
No, this isn't. No. So this broken up guitar here.
Obviously, this is audio, but you can paint the picture with
there's a broken guitar in 1,000 pieces, but it's all been put back together, display case. Which is Nick Bryan. So Nick was engineer for the What's the Story sessions and so on. There was a bit of a fight at Abbey Road. Liam picked up a guitar, smashed it up, thinking it was Noel's, but it was Nick's. Nick's prized possession given to him by his mum. You know, it was a big thing. So then there's a big argument then, who's going to replace this guitar for Nick? And Noel said, come with me, Nick, and he gave him a guitar, which is this guitar in this case. So this, to me, is... culturally one of the most important guitars of this generation, I think. This is the guitar that Wonderwall was recorded on. Most of Be Here Now was demoed on this in Mystique. This is the same guitar was used at Nebworth for all those acoustic tracks. And it's one of those things where it's a Takamine. It's not a particularly great guitar, but the pedigree of it and what it's done. And to me, how it's changed the music industry, because so many kids picked up a guitar after hearing Wonderwall,
yeah,
and they were now in bands and all the rest of it. So yeah, I think it's culturally it's as important as Lennon's Casino, Jimmy Page's Les Paul, you know, in my book.
Ooh.
It's a very, very special guitar.
I might just nick it and leg it out the door, actually.
The security here, I don't.
Yeah, there is a couple of big security guys, actually. I might not.
Exactly, yeah. Oh, but there's some very special guitars here, yeah.
But even like when I was down at Rockfield, when we met at Rockfield, you know, it's like the piano that just happens to be there.
Exactly.
But
yes,
that is the Don't Look Back in Anger piano.
Don't Look Back in Anger, and obviously used for, I mean, in the other studio, they've got the Bohemian Rhapsody piano. Yeah. And just, you know, the mic's there. Same mics. Yeah. It hasn't changed there, Rockfield. So the mics that Liam sent, we've all seen that video, Champion Supernova, you know, Liam in the studio.
Yeah.
You know, that mic is still there to be used.
Probably never been cleaned.
Never been cleaned.
Probably got Liam's DNA on it.
Probably.
If you want to clone him.
Probably. Yeah, yeah.
And we need to clone him. We need more.
We do. We do. Well, we've got Sahaji. I mean, they're the closest thing
they're
we have to
closest.
A Liam clone.
Yeah. So we're looking forward to seeing them later.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it'd be great.
So you're seeing Liam tonight? Excited?
Liam tonight? Well, yeah, we've got sort of backstage tonight, so we're very excited. So yeah, Foo's last night, which is great. But I think tonight's gonna be a very different gig. It was a big outdoor venue last night. Tonight is obviously a small arena. And looking at the clips from last night, if the building's still standing, it's gonna be a great gig. Yeah.
Awesome, Craig. Yeah. Thank you so much, man.
No worries. No worries at all. My dream to jig out. To be sung by everyone. This rock and roll is driving my soul to somewhere I could be with my dream. To jig a jig out. Jig a jig out.
All right, we're here with the main man behind today and this whole weekend. Kyle, how you doing, man?
Stressed, sweaty, sore. Tired, livid, but really, really, really pleasantly surprised. It's been absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Well, we're almost there now, aren't we? This is the last day now.
Last few hours, and I can close the door and just start crying.
But you must be absolutely chuffed.
Well, listen, you're here now, mate. Look around the room. I'm not sure people will be able to hear us because of how buzzing it is. It's been like this, except for Friday between, say, 2 and 4. It's been like this all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. And there's not been one negative word said. Well, someone said I was a bit ugly, but that's about it. You know, that's it's been great. It's been really good. I mean, that section for definitely maybe there. 5 hours before we opened this, that was the only thing on the wall.
No way.
So I really need to make a massive statement here and say that my team of people that have helped me have been invaluable, and they've done it voluntarily.
Yeah.
The joiner came up from London. His van broke down halfway. So we had to drive all the way up for 30 miles an hour. He turned up 6 hours late and then still got it all done in time. It's just been amazing. Absolutely amazing.
And yeah, all the OCG guys, just suddenly, I've been following it obviously on the Facebook and everything. And yeah, just mad that like everyone was just wanting to jump in and help. That's just the...
That's it. It's one of these situations where we can get people to come, because well they're involved, and a lot of people did realise this was going to be monumental. I said this was going to be the largest, and it is. I think, you know, it's not about competition, but it's about value for money.
Yeah.
And obviously now what I do this, I want to take it away and do it in London.
Yep.
Abbey Road, I'm knocking.
Abbey Road, Jesus.
I'm coming knocking very soon. But I mean, it's very this is evidence. When I get there, I've got videos of people that have come from Australia, New York, Peru, that are coming over. Of course, I've been very clever, and I've booked it the same weekend that Liam's playing, so a lot of people will be here for Liam.
Yes,
but I'm not telling people that. They came here for me. But no, it's been fantastic. It really has. And so Tony came for the launch night. The poor man said he'll nip in for half an hour. It took him an hour and a half to get from there. Well, we're on audio, for 20 yards, an hour and a half.
Everyone just grabbing him, wanting to say hello,
signatures. Just saying hello to him, really. Poor guy. His missus was livid. But it's been... I think that's the thing to point out. It is the full Oasis story, but it goes on. We've got the live lounge there, which is unseen. You know, there's stuff in there that you'll never see again.
Yeah.
The ticket collection's unbelievable. But then we've carried it on for BDI, Noel, Liam, Squire, and the merch stand, obviously, for Bittersweet Home, shows that we're not just about Oasis. It's about, you know, I try and work with a lot of bands,
yeah,
and it's all charity focused. So yeah, it's been really, really Really good. Really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed it.
No, well, look, well done, mate. You know, I know we talked over the years about doing something, and like, yeah. I've obviously done live events on a much smaller scale than this, and it was a case of, well, could it be done? Could we do something? And I just thought, it's a big risk. Big risk. You got put
well,
a lot of money.
£18,000. Wow. 18,000. Sorry, I'm lying there. £16,000. It was. I was doing a coffee table book, but I just ran out of time. And a lot of people don't realise I'm a one man company.
Yeah.
So I apologise, everybody, if you sent me an email the last couple of days, because I've got 174 emails in the last 12 hours. But you know, it's an accomplishment. I am proud of it. I genuinely am proud of it, because you know my history. I quit my career to try and do this, and I'm not divorced yet, so things are going right. Things are going okay. But I'll try. I'm going to take this to... My plan is now to do this in London.
Yeah.
Maybe a smaller one in Glasgow. And I do want to take it to Tokyo.
Tokyo,
yeah. Wow. Someone's been in touch with Tokyo, a very, very well-known company that wants to say, can we do this over there? And I'm like, oh, well, let me think about that. of course I bloody do, you know.
Oh, my God.
But again, it's not like... It's an industry that's full of shysters, fake stuff. Yeah. At least everyone knows that everything behind that merch stand, everything on the website, is genuine material. Yep. And if you don't like the price, I'm sorry, but I've got bills to pay. But it's great.
Yeah.
So we're about to kick off the Q&A. We can see John Robert there. And
you
Brian
can't
Cannon
miss him
there.
With the haircut.
No, absolutely. And he's like, so to get the support of these sort of people is huge.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited to get the Q&As on the go, have a breather, finish it, and then go to the gig tonight.
Absolutely. Well, I'm there as well tonight. I'll be.
Are you standing?
I'm standing, yeah.
Right, we're going together then, it's cool.
Yeah.
Put a top on this time, eh?
Absolutely. Don't chuck any piss on me this time, all right?
That was on your leg, I didn't throw it, just did it.
Kyle, well done, mate.
Thank you very much, mate. Really, really, a pleasure.
So we're here at Together We'll Fly with Wardy. How you doing, mate?
All right, thank you, yeah. Yeah, good.
Good to meet you finally.
Yeah, you too. So, come down today, I've had a look around the exhibition, we've been to the talk with Nick Bryan, learned quite a bit in there, some interesting stuff going on. So yeah, really good. We've got some good memorabilia here, the guitars, like Noel's guitars, to see things like that. Just amazing. The Burns bass that I think Andy Bell played at Wembley. I didn't know that belonged to Noel. I would have assumed it was Andy's, but obviously not. The silver guitar as well from Be Here Now era, and just some of the acoustics, looking at some of them. He's obviously played on, you know, some classic hits. Great stuff. Yeah,
I love that bass. It's like the Go Let It Out bass to me. That's the
The Rickenbacker.
I love that.
Ah, right.
I love
that.
Yeah, I do love a bass.
It's a bit sort of McCartney, Sergeant Pepper, isn't it? Yeah. But yeah, right.
What I tend to love even more than guitars is the cases.
Yeah, with the stickers on, the Oasis stickers.
Yeah, with the Oasis spray painted on and the stickers and everything, because that to me tells the story about.
Yeah,
you can imagine them going through all the airports and getting bashed up. I love all that stuff.
Absolutely. And then I think there's a smashed up guitar over there. I don't know if that's going to be the one from 2009, is it?
No, that's the one from the... we just got the story off of Nick and the gang, actually. That's from
Rockfield.
Abbey Road.
Right, where
Liam's smashed up what he thought was Noel's guitar. And it was Nick Bryan's own guitar. So, amazing. But are you seeing Liam tonight?
Yes, so I got some tickets the other day. I saw Oasis back in 2002 at Lancashire Cricket Club. They were pretty good. I wasn't the best three songs that they did were, I think, were the encore.
Oh yeah.
Generally through the whole gig.
Yeah.
I wasn't overly impressed, a little bit disappointed, I suppose, but the encore was brilliant. Saw Noel in Leeds last year, and then tonight seeing Liam and Cast as well.
Yeah.
So to see Liam and Cast supporting them should be
amazing.
Pretty amazing, yeah. So should be really good, hopefully. So yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, should be really
good.
All right,
mate, well, good to catch up.
Yeah, you too, take care.
Lads from a council estate, two brothers, head cases. I live my life in the shit, and there's no easy way out. No one had ever come along that was even remotely like us. I need to be myself.
So, still here, Together We'll Fly with Pete from the upcoming show Live Forever, The Rise of Oasis. How you doing, man?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm very good. You excited to be here at the exhibition?
Absolutely, it's amazing. There's so much stuff, I've never seen anything quite like it. It's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. You're not Manchester, obviously. That's
No, I'm from London.
So, yeah. Whereabouts in London are you?
South London, Crystal Palace.
Okay, but did you love Oasis? What was a big band for you?
They were, I got into Oasis like many as soon as they came out in 94. I was 13, so they were right at the moment for me to discover amazing music, and then went on to see them at Nebworth, and then followed them right through Finsbury Park, and yeah, it was great.
Yeah, yeah. And if you've been playing, so you are what, Liam, effectively in the show?
At the moment, I am. Yeah, I mean, with regards to that, I wouldn't say I'm doing the lead vocal in the show. Yeah,
you don't. You're not like a lookalike, like bootleg Beatles.
No, not really. No, I mean, as I said, like the image is obviously. Is an important thing with Oasis, so we'll have a likeness to that look, but no one's wigging up or like, you know, turning up with exactly the same pair of Adidas from 1995.
Yeah, sure, that's fine. And so I remember the trailer came out, you'd used like, so it was really interesting because obviously there's like hundreds of Oasis tribute bands around the country, but you're looking at actually like a proper theatre show, right?
That's right, yeah. Well, we're trying to cross over into like a different place. We're definitely not doing a musical, so there'll no be like singing and dancing about making a cup of tea or anything like that. And we're not a tribute band. I'm not knocking tribute bands, they're great. I love going to see a lot of the great guys that do it. We're going to be like a live band that will be playing the songs as close as we can to the actual records rather than live.
Right.
We're going to try and recreate the records with all the layering of the guitars with real strings and real brass. And that'll be backed up by like big screens that we have, doing like a documentary, following the band through from the boardwalk, and then finishing at Nebworth.
Awesome. So that to me feels like I don't know if you've seen Australian Pink Floyd.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah.
That feels more like what they do versus like bootleg Beatles, where they're like pretending to be them.
Yeah, you've hit the nail on the head. That's the one. Yeah.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah. I love that because it's like. Especially with Pink Floyd, you don't need to look like them, you know. You know what I mean? But
no.
I suppose obviously you're lucky enough; you still got the hair, so yeah. That's good. Yeah. Some of us at our age don't have it, but yeah, no, it's really good, mate. But yeah. So where can people see it? Where's the plan for the show?
Right. Well, we're going all over the place. We're doing Manchester, Bridgewater Hall. We're playing in London. We're playing in our final gig is the. Is the one I'm really looking forward to. We're playing at the Cliffs Pavilion in Southend. So we're going to be doing that 30th anniversary of Live by the Sea.
There we go.
So we're doing that. That'll
spot be fun. On. Brilliant.
And, yeah, all over the place. It's a UK tour. We're going to be starting in January. And then we'll take a break through the summer and we come back again in November and December and do a long 2-month tour.
Awesome. All right, well, it looks like Sahaji are about to start playing anyway. But yep. Great to speak.
Nice to speak to you. Cheers.
All right, brilliant, mate. Thank you. So that was the end of the exhibition. Really, really enjoyed it. As I say, it was great to catch up with all those guys. And well done again to Carr. What a great show. You know, incredible to have put that on. To have put up like 16 grand. Thankfully, I think it's all gone well for him. So it's all good. But yeah, well done, Kyle. So we then headed down to the Liam show. So I headed into the venue and, as I think I mentioned previously, I did actually manage to get a guest list ticket from Liam's management, which was really great. So thank you very much to Katie Gwyther. So it's Debbie's sister
who really sorted me out. So it was very, very good of her to do that. So I was really grateful. So I managed to get a standing ticket, which was really cool. Didn't get backstage or press pass or anything like that. Just a typical standing ticket. But hey, absolutely loved it. That was, very, very good. Really, really excited. Very privileged to have got that. So we headed in. Unfortunately, missed Villanelle. I was actually ironically queuing up at the merch stand, got a Villanelle shirt, and missed Villanelle themselves. So I can't comment on Villanelle. Headed into the main venue in time for cast. Now, at the time, I wasn't sure what was going to happen because England were playing football at the time as well, the first game of the Euros. I didn't know what they were going to do. I know some gigs, like, they've put the football on a big screen or I didn't quite know how that was going to work out. But they didn't do that. They just ignored it, really. Liam mentioned it a couple of times on stage. First up that I saw was Cast, who I really enjoyed. But then you hear, halfway through Walk Away, England scored. And so you can hear it, that you sort of get a smattering, like the people that had were checking their phones and got like notifications of, FotMob or whatever apps that people use that are updated more quickly. And then the people that were just sat there at the gig watching it on their phones, then obviously the live stream's a little bit further behind. So you started to hear some sort of loads of cheers then coming in while Cast were playing like a very beautiful, plaintive version of Walk Away. So it's a bit bizarre. But yeah, let's have a bit of that.
Welcome back to the Oasis podcast, the ultimate audio guide to Oasis. It's the morning after the night before as I'm driving my good friend back to the train station. Katie, how you doing, man?
I'm all right, thank you. Yep. it's early morning, but I'm okay.
We're good. So just talk us through yesterday. So we had the Together We'll Fly exhibition. So first off, what did you think about that?
I absolutely loved it. The first thing I thought of when I went in there was like, oh my god, I'm standing in like a church, the Church of Oasis, just kind of like in awe. I think that was it. I just felt in awe of everything. And what I loved is like people just standing next to me that obviously just strangers to me who would just turn around and say exactly the same thing. They would just go, it's like a sweet shop, or it's like a church in here. I was like, yeah. it was really, really great.
It was like a church of sweets.
A church of sweets, yeah.
I like that. No, I loved it. Was there any particular items or anything that stood out for you as you were taking it all in?
Well, I loved, strangely enough, I loved all the imagery of Noel Gallagher's solo stuff. I hadn't seen any of that before. Like the pictures of the Who Built the Moon era was really colourful and really, really nicely like just as a almost like pieces of art. I really was taken in by that. But I loved seeing like the old posters and seeing like the posters of Main Road and seeing that tickets were £17.50. Mm. Like just little things like that, and the guitars obviously, and Alan White's drum kit. Just so much. Like, what else was there? Like, what I loved was looking at the different vinyl records that were signed by the different band members and seeing the lyrics that they chose to put on them. And I loved, like, especially the ones that Bonehead had signed. He'd picked out really interesting lyrics that just kind of hit you, like, taken from each song. I just thought that was really a nice little reminder of just Oasis and what they meant to people. So, yeah, I liked all that.
Yeah, I like that, because it's not just a scribble. It's not just, this is not just a, I suppose that's one of the good things about the collectors group, is it's not a case of hanging around outside a hotel and or a gig venue, you know, in the hope that you might get a scribble. This is like something that's arranged. They sit down and they do a dedication, or they come up with a something special. And so, yeah, I really like it when it's sort of written across, you know, with an impressive kind of, yeah, it's just nice, isn't it, when you're looking at that. It's something to read and then something to reflect on. I really like the display case with all the little bits. So you've got like the famous sort of the original demo tape, like Alice Take Me Reminisce. That was really great to see that. I mean, that's, I've, you know, done, you know, I interviewed the guy who had that originally 7 years ago, so it's cool to see that in the flesh. And then yeah, just all like those little, like, for me it's the tapes are exciting, you know, because we all, if you were in a band, like, you would make your little tapes and things at the time, or even if you weren't in the band but you were making cassette tapes of mixtapes of friends and things, then just to think that little tape was put in the tape recorder and they did play and record and then they recorded onto it, and you know, and there are these sort of little magic moments on these cassette tapes, some of which we've heard, some of which we haven't. So that was great. And then, like, and just those little artifacts, that's what I love. And I think I mentioned it in one of the interviews I did yesterday, but it's great to see the guitars, but I almost prefer the guitar cases, because the guitar cases tell a story. You can see every little bump and scratch and the little stickers from, like, the, I think there was the big box that had all, like, the, with the lead, I don't know if it's for leads or whatever, like a chest of drawers, but like a big travel case box. And it's got like the Strokes stickers, and it's, so it's almost like it tells the story over time, because you've got all the different stickers from all the different bands that have traveled with them. So yeah, so I thought, as like an artifact, I thought that was really, really, really cool.
And also, I just remembered the bit towards the back of the room of the exhibition, they had all the platinum discs and gold discs and silver discs. I at one point felt really emotional looking at that, because it was like you could see their trajectory of their career, like you could see how many sales Live Forever made, for example, and then next to it, I think there was one for Whatever, when you looked at the number of sales it had increased, and then you had like Definitely Maybe, which was like something million copies sold, but then you look at Morning Glory and it's like in end of like 95 or something, beginning of 96, it was at like, I don't know, 3.5 million sales, and then by the time it got to like later, it was 4.2 million sales. And I was just, the reason it made me emotional was just imagining being them for a minute and thinking what that must have been like each time they got one of those platinum discs, knowing that they were just getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, thinking, God, that, and it happened so rapidly. That brought a bit of a tear to my eye.
Yeah, that was cool. And what about the talks? So you were there for both, for Brian Cannon and John Robb, and then with Nick Bryan as well.
Yeah, so the Brian Cannon one was first, wasn't it? And that was really interesting. Like, a lot of the stories he shared, obviously, I think he's shared a lot of them with you on Oasis podcast, but it was nice to have a few little like updates on things. So just like when he like added a few little extra details on the story of Noel turning up at Primrose Hill and stopping the process and going, why is Liam in that, and then they brought in Anita Herriot. But although he's told that story before, he'd added extra little details here and there. I thought that was really nice, and he seemed in really good spirits, and it's really lovely knowing that that relationship with Noel is still there.
Because for I don't know if we've talked about this in the pod actually, but the artwork for Definitely Maybe 30 is the living room, but with the members removed. And he said apparently that was Noel's idea, but then he wanted to talk to Brian about doing it, and so it is officially a co-design between the two of them. And I thought that was and so John, obviously being a very clever artistic person as well, like asked him like what that kind of meant, and I suppose his feeling on it was, you know, definitely maybe is a moment in time. It is 30 years ago, and the band is gone now. That is a moment in time. The band is gone. There's no reunion. I did say on Twitter we thought there might be, because four of the original five were in Manchester the last few days, but no, it didn't happen. We were there, and so it didn't happen. But that's the idea, is this album remains. You know, the cultural vacuum or whatever, the people, Liam Gallagher at age 21, Noel at age 26, these people are gone. But that moment, what they created, remains and will remain forever.
Yeah, definitely. And that it felt like all the people there were feeling that at the time, weren't they? Like, this is never going to die now. This is in our hearts forever. And it felt like Brian Cannon was feeling that too. The Nick Bryan one was equally really fascinating listening to, for this really similar reasons for me. I don't know how it was for you, but similarly to hearing him from when he was on your podcast to this one, he kind of had a few extra details, like the funny stories about all the kinds of people that they'd bring back to the studio when they were recording both Morning Glory and Be Here Now. It was really nice, and it just felt like there was a lot of goodwill in that room.
It really was. And I think shout out to the people that asked questions as well, because they did a brief bit of Q&A, and there's like a real young lad asked a question at one point, which is really nice, and then Hanif, who came over and was chatting to us, he asked a really good question, so it was nice. It was good to get that, and John Robb, obviously very, very good. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to sort of time it well and work the interview. You know, I could give him a few tips maybe, but he's doing all right. We'll watch his career for the future, and I thought the guys were in good form. It was really good. And then Sahaji, so we got some live music. So we got down to see Sahaji. So really good. Obviously, I interviewed Shotaro a few weeks ago, and it was good to then meet the guys in person. And I think since their first single came out, I don't know if I've talked, if this comes up in another interview, but basically, that first single came out, like, created quite a lot of buzz in Japan. And so over in Japan right now, they've like had a massive push and have been, I've been on like the equivalent of like Good Morning Britain in Japan and things like that. They're sort of quite big now in Japan because of the fact it's quite unusual. The Japanese bands don't make it in the UK. And so the fact that they've had this sort of breakthrough in the UK. So they arrived with this whole, like, it's supposed to be an acoustic set. And I'm thinking it's going to be the two of them sat there with a guitar in the corner. But they arrived with like a proper entourage with like, a videographer. I was sort of, as they came in, I'm like, hey, hi guys, how you doing? And suddenly there's a cameraman in my face. I'm like, okay, this is unusual. But, we're not used to like proper videographers and like entourage coming in with a couple of guys that are like, as far as I was concerned, it's like just a little unsigned band from Japan. But no, that was, that was good to see those guys. They're proper little rock stars, and of the songs, actually, I think some of their stuff has been good so far, but the next one, the song that they played that hasn't come out yet, I think it's called Stay Around, I think it was really, really good, so I'll really look forward to hearing that one. I
had like this really interesting guitar solo in it, didn't it? Towards the end, I really liked his guitar as well. It was really interesting. Also, was the jacket he was wearing actually the one Liam wore?
Yeah, it was on display. He I presume Kyle actually like approved of it, but yeah, because it was on like a mannequin on the side, and then suddenly I'm like, oh wow, he's got like a replica of Liam's one. It's like, no, the mannequin's naked. He's pinched Liam's coat, so I don't know if he was allowed to do that, but yeah, he wore the which one was it? Was it Finsbury Park? No, I can't remember what gig that was.
I can't remember the gig it was, but it's
that quite funky one with lots of different embroidery all over it, isn't it?
He wore it well.
He rocked it, to be fair to the guy. Yeah, he's sort of he carries himself really well, you know. That's the thing, a lot of those guys, he's got the swagger, to be fair. So yeah, and really good singer as well, like, you know, some of those songs I was trying to sing along. As you can hear, my voice is a bit knackered anyway, so that's my excuse, but you know, I'm like, no, these are high good songs, and he was really crushing it. You know, so no, fair play, good band, and great to see the guys.
Yeah, and Kyle was great, wasn't he? Because he organised it, but like really like smoothly arranging everything, and just
fair play to Kyle. Like, I don't want to get too big on Kyle because everyone's bigging him up at the moment, but you know, and we don't like to build people up too much in this country, do we? But no, to be fair, he worked his ass off. Like, as I know from doing you know, just the events we've done with Tony McCarroll and Alan McGee and stuff, like, you know, it's a lot of work just to organize like one venue for one day for one band and one interview. That was weeks and months in preparation. So for what he's managed to do there, you know, with all the costs and everything, like the financial risk he's taken personally, you know, to arrange everything, like he was just saying, display cases are thousands of pounds, you know. So all that sort of stuff was just, it was such a great undertaking, and it worked, you know, it really worked. And to the point where what was really lovely at the end there was you know, when the guys came out from Salford Lads Club and sort of thanked him, and like they'd given him like a signed shirt, and they did like a draw, they raised money for Salford Lads Club, because it is a you know, it's a charity, it's not just like a venue making money off nostalgia. No, it's a working, breathing, you know, community charity. So now, all in all, like, you cannot argue with it at all. And you know, and then to be fair, Carl was so stressed, wasn't he, charging around. I don't think he sat down for like the last 4 days. He was just so busy, and then charging around one person to another. But yeah, all in all, like, really, really impressive.
Yeah, we're obviously really grateful to him. Yeah, he was looking very stressed, but in a good way, in a good way. Yeah. So thank you.
Yeah, and so then on to if you're going to go to Manchester and go and see Liam Gallagher while you're there, why not? You know, that's sort of what it's all about. So we saw missed Villanelle, unfortunately. I was in the queue to try and get my, well, I'll tell this story then, shall I? So I did email Katie Guider. So this is Debbie's sister. The two of them run Fear PR. And because I've not had much contact over the years, and Debbie, you know, she gave me the Liam audio message and stuff, but I've never really wanted to ask for free tickets and things. I just don't really want to go there. I'm just not really that way inclined. But I thought, like, I did get a link from her for the John Squire Liam album. And then so on the back of that, we've had a few emails. And so I was like, you know, oh, by the way, you know, if there's any chance, like, firstly, if Liam could come down to the exhibition, you know, I'm sure he'd find it interesting. It'd be amazing. Oh, and by the way, as I'm in a Manchester for the exhibition, you know, any chance I could get a ticket, please? A press pass or something. And yeah, and she came back. She said, yes, you're on the list. And so, very, very exciting. Now, I didn't know what that entailed and stuff, so we had slightly worrying, like, well, it's a new venue as well, so I don't know it, like, what we're going to do. Turned up at like the guest services sort of thing, and it's like, hello, I think I'm on the guest list, I've got an email from this person. And and they look and they check, and they've got like these physical envelopes with, you know, and it's like, nope, sorry. I was like, really? I've got an email? And yeah, and then they said, oh, well, we are waiting for another list, so we'll let you know. So hang around outside, wait. Still nothing. And I thought, we'll go back in. And they said, hello, I don't suppose you've had any more. Oh, yeah, we have, actually. That list has just come down, yeah. Oh, and you're on it. There you go. So I've got my ticket, and I've got a physical paper ticket. Unlike all you other losers that just got your digital things these days, I still got a paper ticket, which is cool. And so I'll be selling that on eBay later for somewhere in the region of £1,000. And, yeah, and so that took a while. And by the time we got in, I missed Villanelle. Ironically, oh, there's like cows crossing the road. I'm sorry, it's just some cows crossing the motorway bridge. Ironically, I was queuing up to get merch to buy a Villanelle t-shirt, and so missed Villanelle. But there we go. But that's all right, because I'm sure we'll see them on their trajectory. And then, but then saw Cast, and that was really interesting. One of the things I'll say about Cast was that during Walk Away, they were playing obviously at the same time as England were playing football, and so during Walk Away, this like plaintive song, now you must believe me, never lose your dreams, and then suddenly rain, it's like, what, why are they suddenly going mad in the middle of a Cast song? Ah, okay, England have just scored in the football, all right, fine. So that was like, I thought was quite funny. But yeah, no, I really enjoyed Cast. It was good to see them. I was surprised by the set. I thought it would just be pure hits, you know. I know like Cast singles, I know All Change album, and I know the singles outside of that, but yeah, I think they played quite a few from the new album. And they still played like the four songs from All Change, like the four big singles from All Change. But I really enjoyed them. I thought it was good. It was fine, you know. Play, why not? Play your new stuff. That's all good. So yeah. Anyway, what did you think of Cast?
I loved Cast. I've always loved Cast, and there's always been this little spiritual element with them that they kind of embody in all of their interviews. And I thought it was really lovely that this band are playing, and then they got to, I can't remember what song they played just before Walk Away, but I got, I was like trying to mull over a decision in my head about something in my own life, about whether to stay on or walk away from it, and just as I was reflecting, they started playing Walk Away, and I was like, oh, that's my decision made for me. And I always notice that they've had that kind of effect as a band. There's something, their lyrics or their sentiment kind of has always sort of matched where I am, like at an emotional point at any given time in my life. It's nice when those lyrics overlap with it, and you kind of feel like they're almost talking to you in that moment. Obviously they're not, but it felt like that in that moment. So it was really nice to have that feeling again, and it was just a little reminder of, oh yeah, music does do this, doesn't it? It has these little magic moments. So yeah, I enjoyed it for that. It was a very personal experience. Yeah
no, that was great. And like you said, they have always had that. Is they're very Scouse, and they've got that sort of almost Eastern philosophy, haven't they? And they're very much like in the moment and stuff. So, and it was great, you know, it's great to see. Well, and the fact that a couple of them do look like gurus now with their like massive beards and long hair. So yeah, we're basically playing to, but you know, listen to a bunch of gurus. But no, that was great. And then Love Is the Call being the new album and everything, that was very powerful. I thought I really loved it. And then, before we talk about Liam, I thought generally, like, the Co-op Live is just this, like, it's quite an imposing, big, massive black lump, right? So it's not, like, the most beautiful, aesthetically beautiful venue. It's just this massive black monolith, you know? But inside, you know, it is, it's a, just a huge black box inside, really. So it's all very, you know, it's not the most aesthetically pleasing. But it's just a huge, huge venue. And, like, very well organised. Like, you didn't have to queue up for things. Obviously, it's brand new. So, you know, so it's all of this has been probably analysed to the nth degree. So very, very impressive. But then, and then just in terms of the vibe of the crowd, I would say it's the most, it's the youngest and most female, highest female percentage of Oasis since Nebworth.
Yeah.
You know, I would say that, yeah, there was sort of loads of young women, loads of like mums with daughters, like, or like, you know, dads, you know, parents with children. Like, you know, it was just a really, really crazy mix. And I don't know, maybe it was because there was England were playing, and so maybe there wasn't as many like drunk idiot men there because they were all in the pub watching England. But there was obviously, you get the percentage of drunk idiot men, that's always going to be the case, but it felt significantly less than other Liam gigs I've seen recently.
Yeah, definitely. And when I looked around me, I literally was surrounded by like little girls. I think there was like two or three young girls next to me, must have maybe only been about 13 or 14, unless they look younger than what they were. But I really noticed that as well, like very, very different vibe, very different atmosphere, and yeah, I definitely noticeable.
Yeah, it was lovely. It was really, it was a different atmosphere. I mean, there was, and if you listen to the videos, I did live stream a couple of the songs. I'm not a big fan of, you know, I think be in the moment, put your phone away. But then I sort of thought, you know what? No, I'm gonna live stream a couple of these, especially Columbia, because I wanted to live stream to see if he did the rap, which we'll talk about. But if you hear in the videos, there was a couple of women by us, wasn't there? And they were just, one of them in particular was just singing at the top of their voice all the way through like that. It's like not even singing, just shouting the words right in my ear all the way through. And she was a big woman. She was probably about 6'1" or something, because she was taller than me. And she had, like, and they would just kept going back and forth to the bar and constantly either filming themselves, filming, doing FaceTime calls to people, singing at each other. And then, to be fair, they were obviously loving and being in the moment, and that's how they were expressing it. So who am I to say, oh, no, you just need to stare at the screen. Don't be turning around and FaceTiming or whatever, because that's how you express your joy. That's fine. I'm not going to have a go at that. But the one thing I wasn't very happy about is she kept, because she was significantly taller than me, lifting up these full pints of, I think from smelling my hair later, it was like rum and coke, but like lifting it up over my head, like, way! Like that on every, like, just randomly, just constantly. And I was saying, it's like being bullied, like if someone's holding a drink over your head, like, oh, I'm gonna pour it on your head, and you're like, ah. So I kept flinching, thinking, just stop lifting that drink over my head. But yeah, and so it was quite, so that was quite stressful, because, you know, I'm used to sort of, anyway, but yeah, that was quite funny. And I suppose where we were like to the extreme right, but right up against the barrier.
Yeah.
So you're not like in the crush, but you're close enough to have a really good view of Liam, but just like across. So you weren't like being knocked around and bustled too much, but, you know, really nice and close.
Yeah, I ended up with a great view because I was just right on the barrier at the front, and I had a perfect view of Liam, obviously side on, but I could see Liam and Bonehead really, really well. It was really, really great. And it was great because he kept looking in that direction as well. So I'm sure he wasn't looking at me, but he was looking in that direction. So it was just really nice thinking, yes, he, like that kind of connection there, being able to see everything. Because as you know, I'm very small and short, and most of the time at gigs, I can't see anything at all. Like even in the Q&As, for example, at the exhibition, people sitting in front of me, I couldn't see above their heads. So it's like a really big thing for me. But at the gig yesterday, I could see everything really clearly, so that was really cool. But yeah, the thing with the drinks on the head, I got a drink on my head as well, and it's funny to think that like the image of the beer throwing is usually thought of as like a load of men just throwing their beers and piss into the audience, but on this occasion it was the women doing it, and it was like vodka. I think for me it was vodka or like cranberry and vodka on my head. Like, I just thought it was a nice little a nice little touch to have someone pour vodka cranberry on my head.
That sums it up all up, doesn't it? Yeah. Doesn't it? That's now it's the vodka cranberry brigade, not the prawn sandwich brigade. But no, that was it was a very different vibe. But like I said, mate, I don't know if it's a Manchester thing as well, maybe. Like that, maybe down south it's more laddish, but up north it's more female. Still laddish, but ladettish, I suppose, using the 90s terminology. But no, I did. Yeah, it was great. And so I suppose you go into the countdown, like the video screens of showing like the having the countdown starting in 2024 and then counting back, and then and the different music playing. Come On, Feel the Noise played over the tunnel, which was great. I loved hearing that. And then and it went through all the classics, you know, T-Rex and Bowie and everything, and then the big I'm the Resurrection at the end, and I was just buzzing seeing like the different as it's sort of skipping backwards, and then big cheers for like 97, big cheers for 96, 95, and it hits 94. Everything, the globe on stage, the whole Definitely Maybe album staging, I thought was excellent to have it like that. And then and then they took the stage. I'd say overall, like just before we get to that, I Am the Resurrection is such a special, I mean, once again, you've got some very bad singers around you, like singing all the guitar parts and singing the drum parts, everything. But yeah, I mean, that was really, really cool. It's a great aspect of a Liam gig. You don't get Fucking in the Bushes, obviously, because it's the 1994. So you just get Under Resurrection and they walk on and go straight into Rock and Roll Star, which was great. I'd say my overall thoughts on the gig, I'd say maybe it's because I was sort of away and at the side a little bit, or maybe it was because like I sort of spoiled it for myself by like listening to what songs have been played and thinking about it and analysing it and stuff. I put it as very, very good. I wouldn't say it's like the best time I've ever seen him. Like, I wouldn't put it as a 10 out of 10 or anything. I'd say it was like really good. I think there's highs and lows in the set. I think that like for me the best moments were like the quieter moments, so like Half the World Away, Do You Want to Be a Spaceman. Hearing Liam sing those live is just really, really special. Or then like Bring It On Down, I thought was great, like the really heavier stuff. I thought where it lacked was in the mid-paced ones, like Lock All the Doors. I think it's cool he's done it, and he's obviously sticking with it because it's like, you know, he's just sticking with the same set list. But if this was a normal sort of Liam tour, he does change it, I think that would have been dropped, because you can tell it's a slow song, and it's a slow song that no one knows, and so, you know, that would have been excised by now, I think. But unless the guys really like it, maybe they really enjoy playing it, but yeah, I think that would have gone. So I'd say, yeah, it tended to be the harder ones that really rocked, or the really lovely quiet ones that had that reaction. And the middle ones, even like Supersonic, I thought Supersonic felt a bit ploddy and slow. I think maybe it's just when Oasis covered songs, like Married with Children and things like that, they tended to like play them faster, whereas I think that these guys are replicating the recordings closer, and so it tends to be slower because the recordings are a bit slower. And so in those sort of ones, I was more just nodding rather than really being buzzed by them.
Favorite bit I think of the set was Liam's Half the World Away. I just love the way he sings it, and it was really noticeable how that song just reminded me how he's got a lot of his voice back. And the way he slightly rendered the melody, I think, was lovely, because it was almost like a little glimpse of what that song might have sounded like had it been originally sung by him, or if that was his recording. It reminded me a little bit of when the first time I heard Listen Up, and Liam pouring in a particular emotion in the lyric. And I know we've talked about that moment in Listen Up before, where his voice breaks a little bit and he's like, one fine day. But then what I noticed last night was when he rendered that melody, instead of singing, but I don't feel down, he sang it like, but I don't feel down. Yeah. And it just made it really, like, it just added this little layer of melancholy, and I got a bit teary then. I thought, oh, he's really singing it with a lot of, he's pouring in some meaning there. I don't know what the meaning is, but he's putting some meaning into it that really hit me. So that was my favourite bit.
Yeah, no, I agree. It was great. That was really special. Half the World Away and Spaceman for me were the really big two special ones, I thought. Obviously, Cigarettes Now Cold gets everyone going, and that was the mad thing. Liam on stage was quite entertaining. There was the, because he was asking about the football, that was like probably the funniest moment, because he was saying, like, what was the score? You know, and people were saying 1-0. And he was like, 7-4. No, 1-0. 9-12, or whatever, like, I can't remember what numbers he was using, but he was just, and it was like dad humour.
Yeah.
It was like an annoying dad humour, like, no, like when you're sort of winding up a toddler or something, you know, that's perfect dad humour from, you know, and he was sort of doing a little bit of that. What was he having to go at, like,
chips
with skins on, you know, Manchester, what are you doing, why are you putting chips and skins on chips, man, like, all that sort of stuff I thought was quite funny. But all in all, I think he was on very good form. It's good fun. And the only other thing, like, I think I'm the Walrus as a finisher as well. I probably could have done without that as well. You know, I thought that, you know, it was cool having the strings there, but once again, it was slower. Like, if you go back to the Walrus with the bootleg Beatles and stuff, it's fast. You know, it's dynamic. Or, like, from Life by the Sea or whatever, it's dynamic and it's fast. It just feels a bit slower. And maybe because they have to tie in with the strings or the visuals on the screen or whatever it is. But yeah, it just felt a bit plodding to me. And all in all, in conclusion, top marks. Very good.
And Bonehead was playing the acoustic on Do You Want to Be a Spaceman as well. That was really lovely.
That was great, yeah, because he's such a, you know, the way he's tank, he really hammered it out, didn't he? So yeah, no, I thought that was great. And overall impressions?
Overall impressions, I really enjoyed it. I think I would have liked to have maybe been in that, because there was one bit when Cigarettes and Alcohol was playing and everyone was obviously going mental, but it was kind of happening behind me.
Yeah.
There was one minute where I felt like, oh, actually, I'd quite like to be in that. I was kind of at the front. I had a great view, but I wasn't in the crowd anymore. So I felt like in that moment, maybe I would have liked to have felt more in the crowd. But as a gig, I loved the set list. I loved that Liam put those B-sides in. I just loved that he changed up the set, and it was a bit, you know, like you said, the thing with Columbia and stuff, he changed things up a bit. But in terms of, probably, I think if I'm comparing it to the Nebworth gig he last time I saw Liam at the Nebworth gigs. I just remember that had a bigger, obviously because it was Nebworth, it had more of an energy to it with the lights and the background and the backing vocals and things like that. And maybe that was more of like a, I don't know what the phrase would be. Maybe it didn't capture me as much as that.
Yeah.
But I still really liked it, and I definitely still think it's one of the best lyrically, vocally, I mean, that Liam's done in a long time. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, like he knows what he can and can't do, right? So like, so in the Up in the Sky, you know, he said like, and if you think you can do the falsetto, you have a go, like that. And I do wonder if people know what a falsetto is, unless you've done a bit of musical training. But yeah, it's like the bit, instead of go, when you're inside, he's like, oh, that was quite good actually. He's like, when you're inside, like that, and you know, and so it's like. You know, I can feel you, and it's like, no, he's not going to do that, you know. So, but yeah, so that sort of thing, it's like, yeah, he knows what he can and can't do. But yeah, he nailed it. He was like really good. It's sometimes hard to hear because you've got everyone around you. But no, I agree. I think Nebworth was a more emotional thing, and I think even the current songs that he's got are like stuff like More Power and things. There's and Why Me, Why Not and things. There's like. A lot of his modern songs express, you know, things about solidarity and positivity and mental health and like all that sort of stuff. And so that's like, if you're singing along, that's quite powerful to sing along for those things. Whereas it's less powerful if you're singing like, you know, I'm Gimme Gin and Tonic, Alka-Seltzer and stuff. It's like the those words are a bit more bizarre and random. Dixie's Dinner went down well.
Yeah.
Dixie's Dinner was great. That was great. And that was the one I had the most fun with in terms of the visuals, because they were like messing with the Definitely Maybe front cover. And like, you know, people sort of like sliding, you know, because he's sort of laying on the floor and sliding in and out, and it would pop up with the word lasagna and things like that. That was a really good visual side. So yeah, no, I thought that was really great. And yeah, and I just think it's great he's done it. You know, that's the thing. He didn't need to do this. Like the overall year he's had. Think about it. He was going to have a year off, and then, you know, after Nebworth. But he's going to have a year off, and then he chose to do Nebworth. And he's going to have a year off. Oh well, no, let's do John Squire. Let's do an album with him. And then, you know, though it didn't, he had mixed reviews and stuff, and the mixed reviews for the gigs. But he did the whole bunch of, you know, new brand new songs he'd never done. Great, interesting. Do something different, you know. And then to do like this, Definitely Maybe. You know, to do all these B-sides and things we never thought we'd hear him do. Fantastic. You know, he's not played Wonderwall and Morning Glory and all these songs that we said, Wall of Glass. He plays them too much. Great. You know, we heard the show where he just didn't play any of that and played songs that, you know, we'll probably never hear him play again after this tour. You know, no way he's ever playing I Will Believe again, you know. So no, I thought that was it was a great opportunity. Great that he's doing it for the fans. And I think something maybe we talked about was that... when he goes, obviously the Twitter followers tend to be the hardcore, or like the people that are replying to his Twitter all the time. So he must get the impression that because his main sort of interactions is through Twitter, and that's a bunch of us lunatics. And so we're all saying, oh, Liam, you should play I Will Believe. Oh, Liam, you should play Cloudburst. So we must assume, oh, that's what everyone wants to hear. And then so he does play I Will Believe, and then a lot of people haven't got a clue what he's playing. Except us, because we're hardcore. And then so hence he had a go at London, like, oi, you know, what are you doing? Like, you know, oh, do you just want me to play Cigarettes and Alcohol 18 times? So they didn't get the same reactions as some of the other songs, but they were still great, you know, and so we still got to hear it. So it was like he was doing it for us, you know, he was doing all those songs for us as fans. He didn't do like an encore with, you know, with Morning Glory and, you know, and Some Might Say and Roll With It. No, he played exactly every song from there was released in 1994, except Lock All The Doors, which is from 1993, as we know. But yeah, no, so I thought that was great. And I do wonder if he will now do, you know, I don't think he'll do a 95 set for Morning Glory and just play Morning Glory in full, because surely he'll want to do his next album next, I would have thought. And will he do a Be Here Now one? I mean, I'd love it if he would, but I doubt it. You know, I doubt he'd play Be Here Now in full. But it definitely maybe isn't the special album, isn't it? So yeah, no, I doubt he'll do those things in full, but we'll see.
Yeah. I've got the new bit of Columbia in my head as well. I love that he sang that little bit about the devil in Paul. I don't know what, I haven't got the lyric, I haven't figured out all the words to it yet, but that the way it ends with devil in Paul. Yeah. I love it.
It was great. So I mean, just, I suppose you haven't talked about this, so that's the follow-up. Yeah, so I do like to think I'm sort of somehow in the story here. So yeah, so he's dropped obviously Oasis have dropped that outtake with that little bit in it. I then did the last episode where we broke it down, and I also chopped that out as a 2-minute bit. So we managed to isolate the vocal. Well done, David Huggins. We isolated the vocal, figured out exactly what he said. Although it wasn't Morris Street, it was Norris Green. Her sister lived in Norris Green, the biggest tart you've ever seen. Can't half build a wall, straight as a javelin pole. And so, yeah, and apparently Chris Griffiths from The Real People had replied to a Facebook post saying it's Norris Green, which is a part of Liverpool. And so they originally recorded it in Liverpool, so that's what it is. It's not Morris Street, it's Norris Green. And I think Liam actually replied to a tweet saying it's Norris Green. So we've got that sorted. But yeah, but when he said, like, people saying, what is that weird rap you do, Liam? And he said on Twitter, he said, oh, I haven't got a clue, I don't know what I'm saying. And then so a lot of people then followed up and copied and replied with what I'd put in the video. So I assume maybe people had analysed the vocals themselves. I don't think so. I think it's more likely that it was people had figured out what, you know, had listened to my episode and then had put that up. I'm you know, not wanting to beat myself up, but I'm pretty sure that's what it was. But anyway, and so yeah, and so then Liam then had the words, thanks to me and David Huggins. And so he's done it. Yeah, he did it on the night previous night, and he did it on our night. So yeah, so we got to see Liam do that, which was really cool, very exciting, and it was just good fun. So I actually live streamed that part. So if you go on my Instagram, which is Oasis Pod, you'll see I live streamed Columbia, I live streamed Cloudburst, and the end of Slide Away and the start of Live Forever. So yeah, so if you check out my Instagram, you'll see those. Well, there we go. So, well, thank you very much, Katie. It was great to spend some time with you, and I hope you you always bring this extra level of intelligence and emotional consideration to things, not just like, yeah, it was good, and the guitars were good, and I had 12 beers and pissed in a cup. There was no piss involved, as far as I'm aware. So it might have been some vodka cranberry and some Coke and rum, but I think we cleared. Although I forgot to say that actually, when cigarettes and alcohol started, I sort of like gestured, okay, jacket over your head, and so you quickly put a hood over your head as well, didn't you? And it was like, and then so yes, there was a few beers through around at that point, but we were prepared, scouts, you know, be prepared. So that's what I'd say. If once that T-Rex riff starts, get your head covered, because you're gonna probably get covered.
put your hood on.
Get your hood on at that point. But all right, well, that'll do it for a crazy day of Oasis madness. But thank you, Katie, for coming on board.
Thank you.
And post gig, stay in touch, stay engaged, and stay young.
So there we go. Great to catch up with Katie. She always brings that other, you know, extra level of analysis and consideration to these things, which is great. Let's get a couple of audio messages, shall we? So we heard from Wardy there briefly at the exhibition, and he dropped us a message with his thoughts on the gig. So let's check it out.
Evening, JC. Just sending you a bit of a voice review of the exhibition at Salford Lads Club and the Liam gig on the Sunday. Exhibition was absolutely brilliant. Once we got in there, we had a look around. Great to see some of the, a lot of the memorabilia that was there. A lot of signed stuff that you would never ever see. I think the guitars were my favourite bit in the middle, seeing Noel Silver Les Paul, and also the talk from Nick Bryan. Some really interesting stories there. Really glad we went to that. Then we went on to the Liam gig at night. Fantastic. First time I've seen Liam live solo. I saw Noel end of last year, and I saw Oasis in 2002. But to see Liam live doing Definitely Maybe, the whole album and the B-sides, it must have been 20-odd songs, I think. Absolutely fantastic. Villanelle were decent, cast were really good. And then when Liam came on at nine, at the end of the countdown, just absolutely fantastic. And straight away from Rock and Roll Star, he absolutely gave it 110%, didn't he? All the way through, straight away, I thought his voice was brilliant. I thought the band were absolutely spot on. I think the highlights for me were probably Diggsy's Dinner and whatever. I think were the highlights for me, but just absolutely spot on. Really great gig. I would definitely recommend, if anybody's not been, to get yourself some tickets for the upcoming ones, because it was absolutely spot on. Also, it was great to meet you at the exhibition. Really good to see you and to catch up for the first time. So keep up the good work on the podcast. As you know, I'm a huge fan. Keep them coming. See you later.
Cheers, Woody. Really appreciate that, mate. Yes, it was good to meet you. And yeah, it's a good point. I don't think I mentioned that actually, but the strings were really good where they were used. So they were used on Whatever, Half the World Away. So yeah, where they were used was great. And also the backing vocalists. I didn't mention that, but yeah, I suppose the backing vocals aren't as much of an issue on this one as compared to some other Oasis songs, because there's less kind of obvious harmonies and things on Definitely Maybe, because it's mainly a Liam sung album with a little bit of Noel, whereas then you get a lot more Noel in the later years, and that's where, you know, you really need the backing singers to sort of come in and be the sort of Noel replacement, and which they do really well, to be fair. Yes, cool. So let's now hear from our friend Kevin, who saw Liam in Glasgow.
Hi, James. It's Kevin here from Glasgow. It's my day on Twitter. Thought I'd pop you a wee review of the Liam Gallagher shows during the week. So it's currently a Saturday afternoon. Just about recovered. Went to the two nights. Went to Wednesday and Thursday night. Liam Gallagher at the Hydro, Definitely Maybe 30 year anniversary. I'd originally only bought tickets for the Wednesday, went with some mates, and just basically so kind of buzzing after the gig, we just had to go again a second night. So I spent kind of Thursday scouring Twitter and various forums trying to pick up a couple of tickets, so managed to get two, so went to two nights. Found that there was quite a lot of spares for the Wednesday night and not so many for the Thursday, but Scotland were playing in the Euros on the Wednesday night, so I think a lot of people kind of chose to go for a Thursday instead. Overall, it was just absolutely loved it, just absolutely amazing, great bit of nostalgia. I'm still kind of buzzing off it, you know, it's a couple of days later. We went in, I got a review of the kind of two nights kind of put together. We went in quite early the first night. The merchandise looked really good. I was going to get hold of one of the posters, but I just knew that it was going to be kind of, it would get bashed about and ruined. You know, we're in the standing section, so there was no way it was going to last the kind of night, you know. The t-shirts looked good. I'm maybe trying going to get my hands and money them, but I think they were about 35 quid each, you know, which is pretty standard these days, I suppose. I'd managed to avoid the set list, I think I mentioned to you on Twitter. God knows how I managed it, but kept clear of most Oasis accounts on Twitter and sort of the forums that I use, so I knew kind of roughly what the songs were going to be, and I'd heard that he was playing a lot of kind of old B-sides and stuff, so, but I didn't know the order, which was actually really nice to go to a gig and just, just sort of watch it without knowing the set list, you know. And like, kind of, obviously there's a few kind of nice wee surprises in there. I really enjoyed you and Ryan Harvey's kind of review for the Sheffield gig. So I listened to that this morning. The set list was amazing. That's exactly what I was looking for. Just absolutely still kind of believe some of the songs he was playing, you know. Such a pleasant surprise, you know, Cloudburst and things. It was different to a few other anniversary gigs I've been to. A lot of them, you know, they might be play the album in full and then come back on and do a kind of greatest hit set. Or vice versa, you know, maybe do the hits and then come back out and play the album. I've been to a few shows like that, but I much prefer Liam's take on it. I think it was much better. Kind of glad he never played any solo stuff, as much as I really enjoy his solo stuff. It was an Oasis night, so really, really, really happy with the set list. We got in early, as I say, the first night to see The View. It's actually the first time I've seen them. They were pretty good. We were kind of up the back when they were on. The sound isn't great up the back in the Hydro, but we really enjoyed their set. And Scotland scored. Scotland took the lead against Switzerland whilst they were playing, so the place kind of erupted kind of halfway through their set. And Kyle played the Flower of Scotland, which was pretty good, the whole crowd singing that. Liam actually mentioned he'd done a song for them on the second night, called them a bunch of little mad bastards or something like that, you know, so he was kind of laughing about them. As Ryan had said on the original kind of review, I thought the set looked amazing. It was just brilliant to see. They kind of definitely made the artwork kind of come to life. The countdown was great, you know, the 2024 down to 94. And obviously once the songs that were playing as a countdown, it was like... Town Called Malice, and the last song was I Am The Resurrection, so once that came on, you knew Liam was up next. Like the intro video was great as well, all the kind of old clips for Liam when he was younger, and it was actually good. The band came out and started Rock and Roll Star without Liam, and Liam kind of just came straight on stage, you know, for the start of the first verse, which was magic. Place went fucking nuts, and especially on the Wednesday night. It was quite mad. My mate was saying on the Thursday, I thought it could have been a wee bit louder. Oh, I thought the sound was actually pretty good. We were a bit, no at the front, but I was maybe still in the kind of front third of the standing. But I thought the sound was excellent. Maybe it could have been a wee bit louder, but. The band I thought were really good as well. I've kind of been critical in the past about them, but they seemed kind of right on it. The other nights makes a big difference with the three backing singers. They were excellent, especially during Columbia, doing the kind of high bits in the chorus. The strings were excellent as well. The drums were really, really powerful, you know, really, especially during Columbia, like absolutely thumping drums, like it was absolutely brilliant, you know. I seen them right into that after Rock and Roll Star, so it was excellent. Nobody noticed the bassist. I know he's a kind of sort of top class bassist, but he actually looked really kind of bored at times. Like, I think it's maybe a bit too easy for him. There's not much kind of bass, nothing kind of tricky going on in the Definitely Maybe song. So I also noticed they cut a couple of songs a wee bit short, but I think they've done this previous gigs as well. I think in Nebworth, the recording as well, I think one was Cigarettes and Alcohol, maybe cut it short by a wee bit towards the end of the solo, whereas if you see Noel playing it live by Oasis, it would have been on for an extra kind of 30 seconds or so. I think maybe Slide Away as well, I think they cut that a wee bit short. Just a wee thing that I noticed. It's great to see Bonehead back, obviously looking great. Liam introduced him both the nights, like, you know, we're in the house, Bonehead's in the house, you know, that was after Rock and Roll Star, I think. One thing I thought was good was most of the songs, they actually tried to get them kind of perfect to what was on the album. Like, so Columbia, they played the samples, you know, the kind of sort of backing track thing. They say the backing singers really made a difference in Columbia, and it was good to hear Liam doing the kind of rap, or whatever you want to call it, for the Sawmill sessions. That was pretty funny. I see the screens and the visuals were all excellent. You know, they had sifters during Shaker Maker, for whatever. They had the single cover, you know, the field, and for Diggsy's Dinner, he asked at the start if there were any Italians in the crowd, and it was kind of lasagna on the pictures of lasagna on the screen, which is pretty funny. Again, Half the World Away was a wee bit kind of sceptical when he said he was going to sing it, but he really pulled it off. It was really great. I think it was actually tuned down a step or two, maybe. And the strings were just, they just sounded absolutely brilliant during that and whatever. The organ at the outro as well, I noticed that in Half the World Away, like the organ is kind of same as what they done on the record, whereas like Noel would obviously play it a wee bit different, you know. The second night he done the Octopus's Garden bit and whatever as well, we never done it the first night, but that was pretty good sing-along. And I Am the Walrus, he introduced that, and he came back on for the kind of second encore, and he says, you know, the Beatles are the, something like the Beatles are the boys, and if you don't like it, you can fuck off. That was quite funny as well. I thought I Am the Walrus was great. I've loved hearing it again. It was one of my favourites. The only kind of one was Lock All the Doors, as Ryan said. It just didn't connect with anybody, really. I mean, even the kind of super fans were kind of trying to get into it. You could see it was like, it's just, it was very slow as well. I actually don't know why I put it in, like, considering there was no, they didn't play Listen Up, you know, it would have been much better to play that, but, you know, it might be kind of, maybe mean something to them, I suppose. There was certainly a wee bit of lull in the crowd, kind of, when he done the B-sides, but, I mean, I thought it was amazing, you know, I'd much rather hear, you know, definitely maybe B-sides and some of the, kind of some of the other stuff that he plays at other gigs, you know, but there was certainly a lull. The Thursday night, I thought the crowd was a wee bit kind of quieter than the first night. And there's a guy standing next to me, and I don't think he knew any of the songs, like, even like Rock and Roll Star and stuff like that. It just seemed as if he was waiting for Wonderwall or something, I don't know. But the bit we had in the crowd, there was plenty of space, so we were just having our own wee kind of dance about and stuff. It was great. Actually got a bit of a sore stomach muscles the last couple of days because we were jumping about so much, which I've never had that before. So as I say, I've probably seen Liam 20-odd times in sort of Oasis, BDI and solo gigs, but that's certainly one of the most enjoyable I've seen him, you know, as I say, a proper bit of nostalgia. You know, as I do like his solo stuff, but this was just special. That's why I went back the second night, because, you know, just had to go back because you're never going to probably hear these songs again live, even like Up in the Sky, you know, I Will Believe, Cloudburst. My mate had kind of avoided most of the set list as well when he was playing Cloudburst. He was like, is that Cloudburst? He's like, I don't think I've heard it in 25 years, you know. But aye, so just thought I'd fling you a wee quick review. Maybe went on a wee bit, but great to go to the two gigs, and I hope he does the What's the Story tour in the next year or two. Be the whole B-side collection for that as well. It'd be excellent. And fuck it, we'll get a Be Here Now one as well. Fingers crossed. Thanks, James. Keep up the good work, mate. I'll catch up with you soon. Cheers.
Cheers, mate. Appreciate that. And yeah, if the stomach muscles are going, mate, that's getting old. That's what it is. Two nights in a row. God, I don't know if I could take that anymore. Yeah, well done, mate. Thank you very much for sending that in. Appreciate the you know, a bit of a longer one, but that's all good. Some really good points made there. Yeah, Morning Glory would be good. You know, wouldn't it? It would. There is a lot of B-sides. I mean, mainly for the B-sides, to be honest. Obviously, we'd get like Liam doing Don't Look Back in Anger. That would be interesting. And yeah, would he do kind of a lot of those Morning Glory B-sides? It would be interesting. But anyway, there we go. Well, look, that's the end of a rather epic episode. But thank you very much. I hope you guys that saw Liam really enjoyed it. Thank you very much. If you came to the Together We'll Fly exhibition, if you came and said hello, I appreciate that. And yeah, so we'll be back very soon. We best do some Noel stuff, shouldn't we? So I think next time, I know Noel's done some documentaries on the making of Council Skies. Documentaries have come out, so I think we need to have a look at those. Plus also I know he's featured on that Camden documentary, and he's done the stuff with the Black Keys and things like that. So let's have a bit of a Noel heavy episode next time. So and then yeah, and it's not gonna be too long until I'm off to Reading, where I'll be seeing Liam and a few more people, which is very exciting. Yeah, and at some point we need to get back to the Oasis A to Z. So yeah, we've still got probably 80 songs to get through or something at some point. So there we go. Right, as ever, stay in touch, stay engaged, and stay young.